Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're really getting into something important, tackling a major critique of, well, how things are working right now. We're looking at Paul Collier's book, The Future of Capitalism.
Yeah, this is a really significant one. If you feel like, you know, Western societies are just deeply fractured, but you're kind of tired of the usual shouting from the political edges, Collier's writing for what he calls the anxious center.
The anxious center. I like that. And it feels urgent, doesn't it? Why focus on this now? Well, Collier basically argues that modern capitalism isn't just broken in practical terms. It's morally broken, too. It's creating these huge rifts where you live, what education you have, that are really corrosive.
Exactly. So our mission today is to unpack that diagnosis, which is pretty stark, but also, and this is crucial, to look at his solutions, which are, well, they're radical, but also quite pragmatic. Mm. He wants us to move beyond the standard left-right debates and rebuild an ethical core based on a reciprocal obligation.
Reciprocal obligation. Okay, that sounds academic, maybe. What does he actually mean by that in simple terms?
Well, basically, it's the idea that my rights only really work if they're balanced by my duties to others and vice versa. It's about shared responsibility. He thinks society got obsessed with my rights and completely forgot about her duties, and that created this this moral vacuum where capitalism could go off the rails.
Got it. Okay, so let's talk about the person guiding this, Sir Paul Collier. He's a very distinguished British economist, right? Professor at Oxford, former World Bank director.
Yeah, his credentials are top-notch. But what makes his view so interesting, I think, is his background. He's not really coming from a rigid ideology. He's a pragmatist. He mixes that really sharp economic analysis with a genuine human concern.
And sources mention his personal story matters, too. Grew up working class in Sheffield, then made it to Oxford and Cambridge. So he's seen both sides, the theory and the, well, the reality of how capitalism can fail people.
Right. He critiques it, but as someone who fundamentally believes in its potential, just alarmed by where it's gone wrong ethically, he actually studied fragile states, the bottom billion, and started seeing similar kinds of social breakdown happening in wealthy Western countries. That's quite a wake-up call.
Okay, so let's dive into the book's main argument. He looks back at that post-war period, the so-called Golden Age, from 1945 to 1970, and says its ethical foundation got eroded by two big flawed ideas.
That's exactly it. So from the right, you had this rise of market fundamentalism, this idea of the purely self-interested economic man, and crucially, the idea that a company's only duty is to maximize shareholder profits, which he sees as, frankly, morally damaging.
And then from the left.
From the left, you had what he calls utilitarian social democracy, which, while aiming for individual rights and freedoms, kind of unintentionally weakened the importance of community ties, of social bonds.
So both sides, in different ways, sort of chipped away at that shared ethical foundation.
Pretty much. Both ended up creating a kind of moral void, focusing too much on the individual in isolation. So Collier says, look, to fix capitalism, we have to rebuild that ethical core. And he talks about strengthening four key pillars: the ethical state, the ethical firm, the ethical family, and the ethical world.
Okay, the state and the firm, we hear about those a lot in economic debates. But the family and the world, what's his thinking there? How do they fit into fixing capitalism?
Well, the ethical family for him is about recognizing that stable families are, you know, fundamental for providing the emotional and moral grounding society needs. So policy should support that, especially for lower income families. And the ethical world is about our responsibilities globally, things like fair aid, managing migration ethically, climate change. It's extending that idea of duty beyond national borders.
Right. So it's a much broader vision than just tweaking economic policy. Okay, let's look closer at the problems these pillars are meant to fix. He talks about two major divides tearing us apart.
Yes, two really deep divides, and they're not just about income. First, there's the geographical divide. You've got these superstar cities, London, New York, places like that pulling further and further ahead, capturing huge economic rents.
Hold on, rents. That sounds technical. What exactly does he mean by economic rents here? Is it just about landlords?
Good question. No, it's not just property rent. In economics, rent basically means unearned income. It's profit you get, not necessarily because you worked harder or took more risk, but because of your position, like being in a booming city where everyone wants to be, or having market dominance. It's like capturing value just by being there or by controlling something scarce.
Ah, okay. Unearned advantage, almost. So while these big cities are capturing these massive rents, you have other places, maybe like his hometown Sheffield, or parts of the US Midwest getting left behind, losing jobs, losing status.
Exactly. And the Sekmanig divide is the educational divide. This new cognitive elite, people with university degrees, have sort of pulled away socially and economically from those without degrees. And this has led to a huge loss of, dignity and respect for the non-university majority.
And he's saying this isn't just an economic problem, it's psychological. It's about dignity and belonging, that feeling of being left behind that fuels things like Brexit or populism. He sees that as a direct result of people feeling their identity and skills are just not valued anymore.
Which leads us to solutions. Let's start with the state. Collier wants the state to rediscover its moral purpose. He makes a really important distinction between virtuous patriotism, which is about shared belonging, love for your community, enabling collective effort, and toxic nationalism, which is all about hostility to outsiders. He thinks that positive patriotism is vital for the trust needed for things like a welfare state.
Okay, and then the ethical firm. How do we get companies to think beyond just maximizing shareholder profit?
His ideas are quite concrete here. He suggests reforming corporate governance, maybe mandating that companies have duties to employees, communities, the environment, not just shareholders, things like employee representation on boards, and also using tax policy specifically, taxing that unproductive rent seeking we talked about, and rewarding genuine investment in people and production.
Right. Now, what about that geographic divide? He has a pretty radical idea called spatial rebalancing.
Yes, this is probably one of his most striking proposals. He argues for really active place-based policies. Specifically, he suggests a special tax on those unearned rents, the wealth generated by high-skilled workers and landowners just by being in those booming cities.
Wow.
And then, crucially, redirecting that money to the towns and regions that have been left behind for infrastructure, skills training, supporting local businesses, basically using the windfall of the successful places to reinvest in the struggling ones.
That sounds politically explosive. Taxing the winners in London or New York to help Sheffield or Detroit. Is that just redistribution, or is the focus on unearned rent the key thing that makes it different?
That's the crucial point, I think. He's not just saying tax the rich. He's saying tax the specific unearned wealth that comes from the benefits of agglomeration, from being in those hot spots. His argument is that those benefiting so much have a reciprocal obligation to the rest of the country that, in a way, enables their success. It's trying to restore that balance.
Okay. And the other divide, the educational one. He wants a major shift away from just focusing on university degrees.
Absolutely, a radical shift, really. He argues we need to put massive effort into high-quality vocational and technical training. We've created the situation where dignity seems almost exclusively tied to having a degree, which devalues the skills and contributions of the majority. He wants respected, well-paid career paths for everyone.
But isn't the knowledge economy all about university skills? How does boosting vocational training restore dignity if the highest paying jobs still seem to need degrees?
Well, his argument is that it creates meaningful participation and valued skills. If you can get excellent technical training that leads to a secure, respected, well-paid job, maybe as a high-tech manufacturer, a specialized health technician, a master craftsperson that brings dignity, it's about creating truly parallel, respected paths, not just seeing university as the only route to value.
Okay, let's try and boil this down. What are the absolute key takeaways for you listening?
I think the biggest one is this. Both the free market fundamentalism and the sort of rights-based welfare state failed because they forgot about the social glue, the connections between us. The answer for Collier is bringing back reciprocal obligation, this idea that our duties to each other are just as important, maybe even more important than our individual rights or self-interest.
Yeah, that really challenges how many of us think, doesn't it? That individual focus is so ingrained. For me, what really stands out is framing the crisis as moral and psychological, not just economic. Understanding that sense of lost dignity and belonging feels key to understanding why things feel so volatile right now.
And that highlights that Collier is a pragmatist over a purist. He's not trying to fit everything into a neat left or right box. He's looking for what works, for a hard center that blends market energy with social cohesion, even if the solutions look unconventional.
He definitely has some memorable lines that cut right to the heart of it.
Yeah, like this one on the core problem. The new anxieties are not about simple material greed, but about a profound loss of dignity and belonging. That just nails the psychological dimension, I think.
And his warning is pretty stark. Capitalism is not working for most people, and unless we fix it, it will be replaced by something far worse. really raises the stakes.
And I like this challenge to how businesses operate. The ethical family firm needs to be our template, not the psychopathic corporation. It's a call for prioritizing relationships and long-term community value over just short-term profit.
And maybe the overarching theme, prosperity without purpose is not progress. It forces us to ask what the economy is actually for.
So, okay, these are big ideas. How does this translate to real life for us as individuals?
Well, on a personal level, it's maybe about consciously shifting focus. Instead of only thinking, what are my rights here? Maybe ask, what are my responsibilities? What duties do I have to my community?
Yeah.
It could mean getting more involved locally or maybe choosing to support businesses that seem to operate more ethically, even if it costs a bit more.
And for anyone in business leadership, it's a direct challenge to move beyond short-term share price thinking. Invest in your people, invest in your community for the long haul, maybe be more transparent, pay your fair share of taxes instead of complex avoidance. It's about seeing the firm as a social entity with obligations.
And for all of us as voters or citizens engaging with politics, that spatial rebalancing idea is concrete.
Exactly. Advocate for place-based policies. Mm. Talk about this idea of taxing unearned metropolitan wealth to reinvest elsewhere. Whether you agree or disagree, it's a specific, different kind of policy to debate based on that principle of reciprocal duty between places.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what was the most surprising thing for you in Collier's analysis?
I think it was the clarity and power he gives to that idea of geographic rents. Taking this slightly obscure economic term and showing how it fuels inequality, and then proposing such a direct, if challenging, tax policy to address it, it made the problem feel very concrete.
Yeah, that's a good point. For me, the most valuable takeaway is his insistence that fixing capitalism isn't just technocratic tinkering. It's fundamentally a moral project. It requires us to rethink our ethics, to move beyond those tired left-right divisions and find that that pragmatic ethical center ground.
He really pushes us to shift our language, doesn't he? From I and my rights to we and our duties. So maybe the final thought for you listening is this. Where in your own life today could you practice that idea of reciprocal obligation, even in a small way?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.